Before I start the main message for the day, I want to preface the message with a few comments to follow up on last week's message about the COVID-19 pandemic and how we should respond to it. We actually, as I mentioned earlier, we had quite a response online to last week's message with far more comments than usual. But several more facts emerged this past week that we really all need to be aware of also. And as usual, along with some new revelations, there's also arisen way too much disinformation and false rumors that are being spread around. I was made aware of one source of disinformation and false reports by one of our online listeners that posted a comment to our YouTube page of last week's message. And that comment included a link to another YouTube video along with words to the effect that everyone needs to see this linked video. And after I clicked on the link to see what the video was, I deleted that comment from our page because I'm not going to recommend the video or its producer to anyone. Although as soon as I mention it to you, perhaps some of you will go check it out, and that's fine. But the video was posted to YouTube by a ministry that I'm guessing many of you have heard of and known as Israeli News Live, hosted by a guy who's a bit of a Hebrew roots Judaizer. He claims to be a Christian Jew. He pushes the Hebrew Sabbath and says his name is Stephen Ben-Nun. And that's B-E-N-N-U-N, of course, being the Hebrew name meaning son of Nun, as in Joshua, the son of Nun, who, you remember, Moses' successor, who brought the children of Israel in the Promised Land. Personally, I doubt that's this guy's real name. But at any rate, the man has a huge following on YouTube. And I liked the guy somewhat once upon a time, until he started pushing ridiculous warnings about the Talmudic Noahide laws and saying that the Israeli Sanhedrin is going to take over the New World Order. All of which is smokescreen, subterfuge, and disinformation. In this particular video titled, "And They Gave Their Power Unto the Beast," Mr. Ben-Nun makes the claim that Donald Trump is no longer in power except as a figurehead, and is no longer commander-in-chief of the American military, which is why, he says, as many noticed, the presidential seal was missing from Trump's podium in one of his recent press conferences. Instead, Ben-Nun claims that his alleged inside info is that 96-year-old Henry Kissinger now holds the sticks of America's fighter planes. And so Mr. Ben-Nun claims to have an inside source inside the White House who has direct access to Trump and who purportedly says that if Trump in any way discloses this in public or creates challenges, that he and his family will be at risk. And so this inside source told Mr. Ben-Nun to reveal it instead, as if that wouldn't put Trump at risk. That's foolishness. Ben-Nun also claims that he was asked by his alleged source to share with his audience about President Trump, and I quote, "To understand that some of the actions he may be taking," he said, "please don't hold it against him. He's in a situation now that he has no choice. And I know there is great concern shared with us over his safety. And we need to pray for President Trump and his safety." And my response is that if that is true, if Trump can't talk, he can't reveal the truth because his family is at risk. If Donald Trump is willing to stand in front of the American people and tell such outrageous lies as predictions of 2 million deaths in America alone from this alleged pandemic, and then on that basis to declare a national emergency, put the entire nation on lockdown so as to totally destroy this nation's economy and its last vestiges of liberty, threatening a military blockade and a federal quarantine of the entire states of New York, New Jersey, and certain parts of Connecticut, standing idly by, as little Dr. Fauci says, no one can go back to work until we have a vaccine and everyone's been tested for this virus, simply because his family is, quote, at risk, then I say Mr. Trump must be marked down as one of the most villainous, cowardly, and treasonous criminals of all human history. And the last thing he deserves from Christians is their prayers for his safety. But of course, this is all hogwash. Personally, I would like to know what kind of fool would believe such nonsense and garbage as Stephen Ben-Nun is spewing now. How is it, by the way, that such disinformation agents as Stephen Ben-Nun, or whatever his name actually is, really draws such huge audiences? I mean, within within a day, he had over 100,000 views on this thing. It's just absurd. As far as the Noahide laws go that many of you may have heard of, may I say, though I'm well aware of the lip service that the existing and the previous White House administrations have given the Lubavitchers and Rabbi Schneerson and his cronies, all the talk about the Noahide laws and the Israeli Sanhedrin taking over the New World Order is nothing but a distraction from the real danger posed by those who are truly in control, and who, by the way, long ago put U.S. federal laws on the books that are far more sinister and dangerous than the alleged Noahide laws, including the Patriot Acts 1 and 2 and the National Defense Authorization Act that authorizes the unlawful, unwarranted detention of American citizens without trial, without charges being brought for an unlimited specified period of time, and also includes authorizing American citizens to be killed, assassinated, if they're deemed to be terrorists. And so there's far worse laws on the books already in American law than the so-called Noahide laws. These true powers that be, that control what's going on, have actually now begun the final phase of the complete takeover and destruction of the American Constitutional Republic. And those who are truly in control is not AIPAC or the Zionist Jews, as Stephen Bannon warns, along with Chuck Baldwin, by the way, and others who refuse to see the plain light of day and the facts of history. In fact, as is plainly pictured for us in Revelation 17, the powers that be, those who are truly in control, as we see in Revelation chapter 17, is that woman that holds the reins of the beast of the final global empire, who, while being drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus, while she is arrayed there in her religious garb of purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, and called the great city sitting on seven hills that rules over the kings of the earth, which can be, drawing our conclusions from the scriptures alone, none other than the Vatican in Rome, working its centuries-old plan through its military arm, the Jesuit Order. And in my opinion, Stephen Bannon is either a very gullible and ignorant fool who knows very little scripture indeed, or he's in fact an agent of the Vatican himself, working to cover the Vatican's tracks and blame the Zionist Jews, as the Jesuits have always done. Why, I would like to know, is Stephen Bannon not revealing to his very large audience? And for that matter, why does Chuck Baldwin also dodge the fact that every one of the stooges on Donald Trump's coronavirus task force are either full-blown Jesuits or are, at a bare minimum, loyal servants of the Jesuit order, as they call them, Jesuits of the short robe? Vice President Mike Pence, raised Roman Catholic, now calls himself an evangelical Catholic, which, by the way, is a very Jesuitical stand to take, may I say, since the Jesuits have always been instructed to infiltrate Protestant or Baptist churches and pretend to fit in. Dr. Deborah Birx, the scarf lady who does a lot of talking at Trump's press conferences and serves as coordinator for Trump's coronavirus task force, is another devout Roman Catholic who served from 2014 to 2020 as ambassador at large and as a United States global AIDS coordinator. She was sworn into office in 2014 by a Jesuit priest named Father Dan McDonald, who noted in his speech when he swore her in that, quote, "I understand that originally Dr. Birx had requested that Pope Francis do this invocation, but sadly the Pope was occupied with other matters, and so he had to do the honors instead." As for Trump's Dr. Anthony Fauci, who now is in a position comparable to Hitler's Dr. Joseph Mengele, Fauci boasts proudly and publicly about his Jesuit education from childhood through med school. I want to play for you a brief 3-minute clip from a C-SPAN interview. I'll play this clip for you and listen to what Mr. Fauci had to say when he was interviewed by C-SPAN in 2015.
"The Jesuits taught you high school, college, Holy Cross,
right,
Regis High School in Manhattan. What impact, what does it mean to be taught by Jesuits? We hear about Jesuits all the time."
"Well, it's a great experience, I have to say. They combine
intense intellectualism with discipline, not in the sense of, you know, smacking you around, but intellectual rigor, discipline in how you handle yourself as a person, as a human being. And they have a general motto of, and I think this had a major influence on me and what I did, is the issue of service to others. That's very big. That doesn't mean that people who don't go into public service are doing anything lesser with their lives, but they tend to have I wouldn't say a pushing, but a leaning towards something about what you do is public service. Either everything you do, which turned out what I did by going into public service, or at least a part of your life. So it was an interesting combination of concern for mankind as well as a good intellectual rigor.
When did you want to be a doctor? Do you remember the time?
I think it was early high school. I'm very interested in people. I'm a very much of a people person, and probably as part of the Jesuit training, which is very steeped in the classics and the humanities. So when I went to Regis High School, we took 4 years of Greek, 4 years of Latin, a Romance language, and ancient history and things like that. When I went to Holy Cross, which is another Jesuit school, as a college, I took kind of a hybrid pre-med course. It was called, it's almost an oxymoron, it was called AB Greek Classics-Pre-Med. So you were majoring in the humanities and the classics with a lot of philosophy, but you took enough science to get into medical school. And the idea about when I wanted to become a doctor, I liked science, I liked discovery, I liked the challenges of science, but I also so much liked mankind and the humanities that it was just a natural fit. That where do you put science and people in the same bucket? And to me, that was medicine.
Who was an early mentor?
Probably some of the very young Jesuits in Regis High School. In the Jesuit training, it's a long, long training before you become a Jesuit priest. And back then, they had what's called scholastics, with people who weren't yet ordained as priests, but they dressed with the garb of a priest, and they taught in the high school. And there were a couple of those scholastics who had a major impact on me, just great people, highly intellectual and highly nurturing of you and what you wanted to do.
Okay, so that's the end of the clip. I wanted you to hear that directly from Fauci's mouth. And yes, of course, Mr. Fauci is a real people person. And the Jesuits are just a benevolent organization of Catholic Christians who love Jesus and who just want to serve their fellow man. That is precisely the false front image that the Jesuits have tried to build over the last century. And they are world-class masters at covering their tracks and blaming others for their nefarious and clandestine accomplishments. First, I want to remind you that there is nothing Christian about Roman Catholicism. And secondly, that though their loyal order is called the Society of Jesus, there's no such thing as a Jesuit priest or Jesuit loyalist who loves Jesus, meaning the real Jesus of the Bible, who died for our sins and rose victorious from the grave. For almost five centuries now, ever since the Council of Trent in 1540 and to this present day, the Jesuits have infiltrated and worked both sides of every fence to foment revolution and war after war, up to the present wars that we're still fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, to destabilize nations, counter the Protestant Reformation, and bring the governments of this world back under the thumb of the papacy in Rome, that false prophet and second beast of Revelation 13. The Jesuits have effectively dominated and controlled American politics and major media ever since the war between the states in the 1860s. Which, by the way, is why the Supreme Court is now stacked with six loyal Roman Catholics versus three court Jews. I'd remind you all, as stated in our documentary of the Jesuits, America the Babylon, Daughter of the Harlot, that General Thomas M. Harris, who was a physician and a U.S. Army Brigadier General during the Civil War, published a book titled Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, wherein he wrote, quote, "A foreign political power," meaning Rome, has gotten a lodgment in this land of liberty and is evidently bent on the destruction of our free institutions and substituting for them papal despotism, a despotism that lords it over the minds, the consciences, and the actions of its subjects, and thus renders them incapable of loyalty to any other government. Every single CIA director, including and especially Knight of Malta, George Herbert Walker Bush Sr., has been a papal, ring-kissing Jesuit loyalist. I'd also remind you that Donald Trump is himself a Jesuit-trained loyalist who attended Jesuit colleges and sent his kids to same. Roman Catholic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is also a Jesuit loyalist who attended the same Jesuit college that Donald Trump attended. Bill and Melinda Gates are also Jesuit loyalists, led in particular by Melinda Gates, a devout Roman Catholic. I considered focusing my entire message again today on these things and on reviewing the true identity and agenda of the Jesuits, which is to bring the entire globe under the rule of that man of sin and son of perdition, the Antichrist, who, by the way, will not be brought to power by the Israeli Sanhedrin, as Stephen Bannon falsely stated in the aforesaid video. To the contrary, the Bible clearly shows us. The Bible shows us very clearly in Daniel chapter 7 through 11 that that man of sin who leads that global empire will be aligned with Rome, as is now Rome's vassal papal state, Washington, D.C. And so I was planning on focusing in on these issues again today, especially in light of some other developments that arose over the past week, including the fact that Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Thursday that Canadians won't be able to return to life as they knew it before the coronavirus pandemic until a vaccine is available. Did you hear? I'll repeat that. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Thursday that Canadians will not be able to return to life as they knew it before the coronavirus pandemic until a vaccine is available. Exactly what Bill Gates is saying, by the way. Mr. Trudeau said during his daily news conference, I quote, "Normality as it was before will not come back full on until we get a vaccine for this." And he said that will be a very long way off. Then he added in French, "We will have to remain vigilant for at least a year." And another development, a Pulpit and Pen article posted last Thursday, has this headline, "Church services can't resume until we're all vaccinated," says Bill Gates. Gates said as follows last week, "What does opening up look like? Which activities like schools can be done in a way that the risk of transmission is very low? And which activities like mass gatherings, maybe, like protests and like churches? In a certain sense, more optional. Churches are more optional." He says, "Until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all," says Bill Gates. Is that so, Mr. Gates? I've got news for Mr. Gates. This present situation is not going to be tolerated indefinitely. In another article and posted in thehill.com, the headline was "Fauci, Administration Discussing Immunity Cards for Americans." This is Dr. Fauci. We just heard from him. But we read in this article, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, said it's possible that in the future Americans may carry documents to prove they are immune or not infected with the coronavirus. Fauci, who is one of the public health officials on the administration's coronavirus task force, said such a system is one of the several options they are discussing. "That's possible," he said on CNN's New Day. "It's one of those things we talk about when we want to make sure of who the vulnerable people are and are not," Fauci added. "This is something that's being discussed. I think it might actually have some merit." So here we are, back to Nazi Germany, where everyone has to carry their papers to prove they've had Fauci's poisoned serum injected into their veins. In my opinion, as more and more people wake up to the fact that this entire alleged pandemic is a hoax, the status quo and the house arrest that we've been placed under will not be tolerated for very long without mass protests and blood in the streets, just like we've seen in France and China and elsewhere. This situation could very well lead to civil war being unleashed globally against the various governments that are lining up in unison to perpetrate this hoax. And may I say, that will fit precisely into the Jesuits' plan. That's exactly what they want. That's precisely also, may I say, what the Bible says will happen. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, when the second seal is opened, we read, "When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." To take peace from the earth. Global warfare. "And that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword." What we see here is a great setup for that to happen. And that is really the next shoe to drop that I alluded to in my last message. And so, as I mentioned, I was actually planning to preach another entire message on that subject. I may well come back to it next week. However, I decided this morning to, in fact, set all this aside and to instead preach a far more glorious, liberating, and also a very timely topic on what for us is really, the most glorious and most important message in all the world. And so, instead, I have a message for you today about the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.